Hello and welcome to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 151, Words in the News. In this episode, we're going to help you with your news vocabulary. Do you listen to the news? Are you confused with those long words they use on the BBC? We'll help you understand them in this episode
of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
Reza, what are we going to do with our listeners' grammar, pronunciation and vocabulary?
Well, we hope we're going to help you grow your grammar, to vocalize your vocabulary and to perfect your pronunciation and take it all to the next level.
With over 45 years of teaching between Reza and I, we're going to make your English better. Hello, Reza.
How are things, Craig?
Very good. Very well. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm feeling a bit slothful, but apart from that, I'm fine. Slothful like a Costa Rican sloth, but I'll be okay. Just taking it easy.
Take it easy. Don't stress. Do we have any feedback this week before we start speaking about words in the news?
Well, we could kick off with an email we got.
What does kick off mean?
Kick off is to start, like in a football match. The first kick is the kickoff. Kick is hitting something with your foot. So you kick the ball with your foot. It's the kickoff.
So yeah, we could kick off with an email we received from Francisco Gutierrez. What does Francisco write?
He writes, "Hi, Reza and Craig. I'm Francisco from El Ejido, Almería, and a long time fan." Well, thanks, Francisco. Keep listening.
Thank you.
"There is something that annoys me a lot, and I'm wondering if other people feel the same. The thing that annoys me is the bad use of English. For example, gonna, G-O-N-N-A, gonna, instead of going to, wanna, instead of want to. And the most annoying one that we hear in every song these days, ain't, instead of aren't or isn't. Does this annoy you? Or am I the only one? I'm asking this because this is a subject that you haven't yet covered in your podcasts. I would love if you could speak about this subject. Kind regards, Francisco Gutierrez."
He's right. It's true. We haven't spoken about this, have we?
It's true. We haven't. We ain't done a thing about it yet, Craig.
We ain't. No, we ain't done nothing. What's your opinion?
Well, it doesn't annoy me, Francisco. It doesn't annoy me, but I wouldn't use ain't a lot. I probably do say gonna and wanna, but I don't make an effort to say it. Whenever a native speaker is speaking in normal speech, it just comes out that way. That's the way it comes out.
Do you teach that to your students?
I teach them to be familiar with it, but I don't teach them to attempt it. No, I don't think it's a good idea to try and get your students to practice to say it, because it sounds really artificial if you're not a native speaker, I believe. I think when the time's right, it will just happen. When you get to a high level and you start speaking very fluently, very quickly, and your connected speech becomes like a native speaker, you will start saying things like wanna, and instead of saying to, like I'm going to the bank, you will say I'm going to the bank, and it will come out as to. It happens naturally. But if I say to people, no, don't say to, say to, then they'll say something crazy like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to. And that just sounds stupid, you know what I mean? It's got to come naturally. And I think it's the same with wanna and gonna and all of that. As for the word ain't, I usually don't say ain't, because ain't isn't used so widely. Ain't is more for pop music or black American slang to be cool. Although also Cockneys in London say ain't, don't
yep,
they?
Yep, it is definitely used in very informal colloquial English. And I pretty much agree with what Reza said. And again, it doesn't annoy me when I hear it. What could be a problem, Francisco, is using this informal colloquial language out of context. For example, I don't know if you remember Reza, last week we got an email from Becky, who asked us, the 80s girl, who asked us about the tattoo. Mm-hmm. And in her email, she was very informal. She used expressions like, I wanna. She said, I wanna make sure. Congrats on the podcast, which is congratulations in a short form. She said, cause, with an apostrophe and not because. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the email, she said, thanks a lot, not thank you a lot. So the email was very informal. And I did not mind. I liked it. Mm. I liked the fact that she felt comfortable to write to me in an informal style. And writing is usually more formal than spoken English. Written English is usually more formal. So I think it really depends on the interaction you're having. Be very, very careful in job interviews. Be very, very careful when you're meeting someone for the first time. If you want to make a good impression, be very careful with your English. And I agree 100% with Reza that you really need to know how to correctly speak English, and then you can begin to introduce these contractions, these wannas and gonnas, and this more informal language. So it's very much a progression. As your English gets better, you're more aware of it, and you can change your English depending on your interaction, your relationship with the person you're speaking to.
I quite often write wanna and gonna, but in things like WhatsApps.
Yeah,
I wouldn't often write it even in an email, although occasionally, and I don't mind if people write it to me, but particularly in WhatsApps, because time is important. Time and space, in that case, wanna, gonna, even ain't, are very useful.
And we're lazy, aren't we? We like to be quick. We like to say, we like the easy way. For example, have you ever heard a Spanish person say cortao instead of cortado?
Yeah.
Or cuñao instead of cuñado? People are lazy, so these short forms are popular in many languages. I don't think it's bad use. I just think it's different use, and it's register, which means it depends who you're speaking to, how formal or how informal you want to be. Next, we have a voice message from Ignacio from Granada. Let's hear what Ignacio has to say.
Hi Reza, hi Greg. This is Ignacio from Granada, Spain. I discovered your podcast 1.5 years ago. It was the first podcast I could understand because I had been 30 years without studying English. Your show notes were very useful as a guide. It encouraged me and I got a new interest. Today, I've improved my comprehension and my listening with your help. So now I can understand you without any help. When I repeat the listening of previous episodes, I learn new items I didn't realize in the past. Your podcasts are the best, useful for a wide range of listeners. I would like to suggest to you a new episode with the crucial vocabulary to listen to news on TV. Wars, kidnaps, environment, traffic accidents, election, corruption, and so on. Take care. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Ignacio from Granada. Or forgive me, but as I've heard some people say, Grana. Some people from Granada, not pronouncing the D, soy de Granada. Have you heard people say that?
I have.
You didn't. Ignacio, you say Granada, but some people say Grana.
Thank you, Ignacio. It's lovely, lovely to hear from you. Thank you very much for your message. We did speak about the news back in episode 85. So for more vocabulary, you're welcome to go and listen to inglespodcast.com/85. However, we're going to look at some more vocabulary, and thank you to Ignacio for your suggestion. Just before we introduce new words, let's do a quick revision of news words from back in episode 85. One quick thing, don't forget, news is an uncountable noun. Reza, do your students ever make the mistake with news as a countable noun?
Yeah.
What kind of mistakes are you hearing?
They say incorrectly things like, oh, I heard a sad news wrong. No, I heard some sad news, or I heard a sad news story, because you can count stories, but you can't say a news.
Mm-mm. You can say a piece of news. I have a piece of news for you. I have good news. But the S on the end of news does not mean it's a countable noun. News is uncountable. So please remember to treat it like that. Revision. What would you say, Reza, the English word is for fecha limite or fecha tope?
Deadline.
An example would be, when's the deadline for this homework or report? Does it have a deadline? Titular or cabecera?
Headlines. So in the newspaper, the headlines are the big stories, and they're written in the title, the titular, the headline is written in big letters.
Correspondent is corresponsal, but if the correspondent is reporting on news outside of the country, what kind of job would you say that is?
Then that's a foreign correspondent.
And a person who investigates news stories is?
A researcher.
Yes. Remember, it's do research, not make. That's another common mistake. Researchers, investigators, do research.
Craig, what would you say to bury the lead means?
To bury the lead. We do that all the time on this podcast. We say what we're going to speak about. In this episode, we're going to speak about the news. And then we don't. We speak about people's feedback. So we bury the lead. The lead is the most important thing, the most important story, the reason you're listening to this podcast.
The story that you lead with, the one that comes out first.
Exactly. So do you think it's a good idea that we have the feedback at the beginning of the podcast? Would you prefer it at the end? And just so we go straight into the subject of the podcast, let us know.
Yeah, let us get some feedback from you.
Yeah, why not?
And we'll put it somewhere in the next episode.
Are you happy for us to bury the lead? Or would you like the lead subject, the lead story, the most important thing to be at the very beginning, and then you can stop the podcast halfway through? What does to cover a story mean? Cover is cubrir.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, that could be a translation of it. So in other words, to report on an event or development, to cover the story, to make sure that you have one of your correspondents giving the information necessary to the viewers or listeners or readers, someone covering the story.
If you see something that happens, you are a witness. If you see a murder, you are a witness to the murder. So an eyewitness, someone who actually sees something with their eyes. You sometimes hear on the news an eyewitness report. It's a report by somebody who was at the scene, who was there at the time it happened.
Sometimes they report on stories, but because there's a war on or something like that, they can't actually get eyewitness reports because it's too dangerous to go there and interview people, or people can't send the information out. So in that case, they say reports have come about a bomb or something like that exploding in Syria or something like that. But the reports cannot be verified, they quite often say. That means there are no eyewitness reports yet. The story can't be verified.
And how would you describe news that's happening now at this very second, news you see on Twitter that's immediately happening?
Well, it doesn't have to be in Twitter. It could be on anything. It could be on the news, on TV, radio. It could be on internet. Breaking news. It's breaking into the public consciousness now. It's breaking news.
A person who reads the news in the UK is, unsurprisingly, a news reader. What would you call that person in the US?
They say newscaster. Newscaster. I suppose it's from the idea of person who's broadcasting the news. Broadcast is imitir, so newscaster.
Yep. Of course, podcasting also comes from the idea of casting something out there, putting it out there to the public. So those were words that we spoke about in episode 85. Let's look at some new vocabulary. What about to axe? A-X-E. How would you use that in news terminology?
Well, an axe is an hacha, an instrument which cuts things. So if you axe something, you cut or you cancel things. For example, they often say on the news, more jobs have been axed at the Toyota plant, for example. In other words, the jobs have been cut. They've been cancelled. They've been taken away.
Do you think we should axe this podcast?
No, definitely not. While the listeners still want to keep listening to us, we're not going to axe it.
That's the wonderful thing about a podcast. Nobody can axe. You can't get the axe. Nobody can axe you because you're an independent podcaster.
Yeah. So to get the axe means to be fired, yeah? To be cut out.
Exactly. And we're very, very lucky because we have a lot of support. We have a lot of listeners. That's you listening to us who are backing us in what we do. So to back is another expression you may hear in the news, which in Spanish is respaldar. For example, you could say to a colleague, will you back me if I ask for a pay rise? If I go to my boss and say, can we have more money? Will you back me? Will you support me?
Another expression they like to use on the news is to blast, which means criticize or condemn. For example, the Prime Minister was blasted over his decision to cut government spending. He was blasted. He was criticized. He was condemned.
Blast can also be used when you speak about bombs and explosions, can't it?
Yes, it also means an explosion, doesn't it? A bomb blast has gone off in Aleppo, for example.
And also a swear word. If you cut your finger, you're like, oh, blast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I haven't heard that in a while. It's quite an old-fashioned one, isn't it, as a swear word?
Something my parents might say. What's another word for increase that may be used in the news?
Boost is a common word. That's B-O-O-S-T. For example, a huge boost in the economy, a huge increase.
An economical boost, you may hear. Another word for success is breakthrough. So, for example, there's been a breakthrough in the fight against cancer. So there's been a fantastic revolutionary discovery or success in something, a breakthrough.
Another word you will hear in the news a lot is clash. It can be a noun or a verb, a clash, to clash. A clash is a disagreement, a fight. For example, famous author clashes with her publicist. She disagrees. She fights. Or pro-government and anti-government troops have clashed in the capital.
Crackdown is another compound noun. Crack, C-R-A-C-K, and down, crackdown. It means to control or to purge is a similar word. For example, police crackdown on drugs. You may see that headline or hear that on the news. It means that police are trying to push down or control drug trafficking. So there's been a crackdown, or police are cracking down on drugs.
Yeah, in other words, they're getting a lot stricter about it. Maybe they haven't been so strict before, but now with the crackdown, they're going to be very strict about it.
Maybe you just say apretar, perhaps, in Spanish, something like that.
Yeah.
What about the word face? Because face is cara, but if used as a verb, which you may hear in the news, we need to face facts. What does that mean?
To face, to confront, which sounds a bit like the Spanish, afrontar, afrontar, to confront. Mm-hmm. In other words, to address an issue or a problem, even though you don't want to or it's not going to be nice, you have to do it. You have to face it. And there's a nice expression, to face the music, we use a lot in English. That means, although you're going to be nervous, you don't want to do it, like someone in a theatre, perhaps, where music's playing, you got to do it. You got to go out there and perform. You have to face the music. Do what you have to do.
Another common expression is, let's face it, which means let's be honest. Ser sincero, for example, let's face it, he's terrible at his job. Be honest with me. Let's face it, he deserves to be sacked.
Fury and outrage are words you might hear in the news to express extreme anger. For example, you might read in a newspaper, fury as police arrest famous footballer, or outrage as killer is set free. And those are very good examples of newspaper or internet headlines where they're not complete sentences Really, if we said fury as police arrest famous footballer, it's really short for there was fury when the police arrested a famous footballer. But that's a lot of words. So we reduce it down to fury as police arrest famous footballer.
Another expression you may hear, to go on the rampage. Rampage, R-A-M-P-A-G-E. It means to cause chaos or to riot. For example, Russian football fans go on the rampage after a soccer match. They go crazy, they go mad, they start violently hitting people and causing chaos. To go on the rampage.
In fact, they did just that, I believe, in the last European championship, and they attacked a lot of English supporters.
That was down in Marseille, wasn't it, in the south of France?
They did go on the rampage.
And I saw a documentary that they are organising themselves for the World Cup, and they are going to target English fans or people or British fans, not only English, but any Scots or Welsh or Irish that are there. So they are definitely looking to go on the rampage against British supporters in the World Cup, yeah.
So if there is any violence involved in the next World Cup, it might hit the British more than anybody else.
Well, they might hit the British.
They're going to hit the British with their hands, and that's really going to hit the morale, the feeling of the supporters. So a use of the word hit can be effect. For example, elderly hit as temperature drops. It doesn't mean that someone physically beat an elderly person. No, it just means the elderly have been affected.
It's not people hitting their grandmothers, is it?
No, we do not condone hitting your grandmother under any circumstances.
Or your grandfather.
Or anyone, in fact. But elderly hit as temperature drops means the elderly have been affected a lot because the temperature has dropped.
Podcasters hit by hosting prices.
Yes, that would affect us a lot.
That could be a headline. Another word for a request is a plea. It's a very strong request. I think it's súplica in Spanish, P-L-E-A. For example, students plea for more government funding. It's almost like to beg, isn't it? They're pleading for it. They're asking, please, please, please give us money, government. They're pleading for more money.
Well, you said it. The word please comes from the word plea.
Oh, of course. I didn't think. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. P-L-E-A, plea. Add S-E and you got please, por favor. In other words, I am pleading to you, please.
Of course, of course.
So in English, when we say to you, please, the original meaning was suplicas. Suplicas, suplicas. Yeah.
So when we're saying please sponsor us on Patreon, we're pleading with you to send us money for transcriptions.
Got one more word which is quite common in the news, which is pledge. For example, Valencia City Council pledges better transport service. Pledges. It promises.
Yeah, right. That's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, they do once in a while for special events, like when it's Fallas or something like that, or when it's San Juan, you know.
Yeah, they have, everyone goes to the beach.
They have extra buses, but it doesn't last long, does it? It's usually just temporary.
You've lived in a few different places, a few different cities. How do you rate Valencia's transport system compared to other cities of similar size?
By day, very good. And by night, not so good. It finishes too early. It's very hard to get a bus or a metro after about 10:30, which is very early.
Especially for a city that likes to go out and likes nightlife.
Yeah.
What about price?
I think it's good value. It is cheap for price. It's very good value. I mean, compared to somewhere like London, Valencia is a bargain, una ganga, you know. But Madrid is even cheaper, you know. You go even further and your money gets you a further distance in Madrid than it does in Valencia, by the way.
Yep. Speaking of bargains and good value for money, would you like to have a personal English teacher at a very low price and study in your time on Skype at your convenience? Our sponsor's called iTalki, and it's a website for finding a language teacher to suit your needs, timetable, and to suit your pocket. We are proud to announce iTalki as our sponsor because Reza and I have both tried their service. We're very happy with it. Reza was doing French. I was doing Spanish. We hooked up, which means we connected with teachers online, and we had personal lessons over Skype. If this is something that you would consider for yourself to improve your level of speaking, then go to inglespodcast.com/italki, and there you will find 100 free credits that italki are generously offering listeners of this podcast just to get you started, just to get you used to the system. And it probably is a one free lesson with a teacher of your choice. Again, inglespodcast.com/italki. And we'd like to thank italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Any more words connected to the news, Reza?
Yes, we've got a few more verbs and nouns which often come up. Probe is often used in the news. It's a very useful word because it can be used to say a lot with just one syllable. For example, probe into paintings missing from museum. Probe into, that means someone, maybe the police or maybe a commission, is investigating what happened. It's a probe to investigate, or the noun, an investigation, a probe.
And another verb that's useful is to purge, P-U-R-G-E. To purge, to control or to crack down or to get rid of something. I think in Spanish it's purgar algo. So to purge something of something. An example would be, there's been a purge on illegal drug use in Valencia. So the police have cracked down, that we had before. So the police have cracked down on drug dealers and drug users in Valencia in an effort to purge the city of illegal drugs, to get rid of, deshacer, these illegal drugs. That's to purge.
It's also very commonly used in politics. So when they talk about politics on the news, if they talk about a purge, it means that in a political party, one faction has attacked the other or wants to get rid of people who don't agree with them. So the party is purged. Anybody who doesn't agree with the dominant thought is got rid of.
And the verb to quit, Q-U-I-T, you may have heard that in American English in the sense of to stop, because in British English we'd say stop smoking, but in American English they might say quit smoking or quit drinking, which means to stop. But it can also mean in the news and other context as to leave a post or a position, to resign from a job. For example, the politician quits the education post. He leaves it. Obviously, he stops doing it, but he leaves the job. Dejar.
To raid or a raid or to swoop or a swoop is an attack. For example, police raid houses looking for terrorists.
Police swoop on drug den.
Ah, what's a drug den?
A drug den. Den is like, when I think of den, I think of animals because some animals live in a den. It's a very dark, dirty, cutre, which is like dingy in English, kind of place that's very suspicious. So the idea of a drug den is where criminals are making drugs or storing or selling drugs, and it's a very dark, depressing and suspicious place.
So the police raid or they swoop on places like that. So places which are normally hidden are attacked.
Sometimes the police or the government reform things. So they might reform bureaucracy. They might reform a law, for example. You can use the phrasal verb shake up. Shake up. So there's been a shake up in police bureaucracy, or there's been a shake up in the education system. It's been changed. It's been improved. It's been reformed.
To slam is a word you'll get in the news a lot. It means to criticize. For example, Prime Minister slammed for backing the US. In other words, the Prime Minister has been criticized for supporting, backing the US.
Political party slammed for leaving Europe.
To snub is to avoid or to fail to meet. For example, the Spanish Prime Minister snubs President. Let's say the President of the USA wanted to meet the Spanish Prime Minister, but he said, no, I don't want to meet you. It's not very likely, but you never know. He snubbed him, didn't want to meet him.
It's almost like to turn your nose up at someone, isn't it? If you turn your nose up, you think you're better than them. You don't think you're on the same level. So you're refusing it from a snobbish point of view.
Craig, what's a vowel?
A vowel is like A-I-E-O-U.
Ah, a vowel. I see.
No, not vowel?
Not vowel, ah. Just a vowel.
Oh, a vowel, V-O-W. That's a promise. For example, the Home Secretary vows to reduce prostitution in the city. So it's a very, very strong promise. That's all the words we have for you on this episode. But if you'd like more words in the news, we do post regularly on our Facebook page and on Twitter videos from the BBC and from the Voice of America, Easy News in English. And every week we post two or three videos that explain words you will commonly hear in the news. So Ignacio, if you'd like more of these words and more vocabulary, go to facebook.com/mansioningles or follow us on Twitter at @mansiontwit. And you will find links to the news stories and the vocabulary that we regularly publish on those platforms.
If you like, we'd love to receive a voice message from you. You could tell us what you think. Just go to www.speakpipe.com/inglespodcast and leave us a voice message. Remember that the limit is how long, Craig?
It's 90 seconds and then it stops. But 90 seconds should be long enough for you to give us your message, I think. Just speak quickly. Remember, if you want to reach us by email, for example, if you want to send us more than 90 seconds audio, you can attach an audio file to your email and send it to me, Craig, @inglespodcast.com.
Or you could send it to me, Reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
And as always, for more detailed show notes, go to patreon.com/inglespodcast. We'd like to thank our lovely, lovely sponsors who are Lara, Carlos, Sara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Sara Jarabo, Cory, Manuel, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Manuel Tarazona, Maria Reidemann, Maite, Rorena, Pedro, Ana, and our latest sponsor, Maria Gervati or Gervati. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you so much. And a huge thanks again to Arminda from Madrid for continuing to do the transcriptions for us. At the moment, we have 4 episode transcriptions of every word Reza and I say for episodes 131, 134, 135, 136, and 138. Reza, what's next week?
If you listen in to next week's episode, we'll be talking about would and used to.
Until next week, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
Craig, what would you say to bury the lead? to bury the lead means?
Ask me again.
I better ask you. Just go to www.spike. We're going to help you grow your grammar. Vocalize your vocabulary and do something with your pronunciation.
Perfect your pronunciation. We want your perfect pronunciation from you.
Let's do that again. I forgot our own slogan. Ask me again.